Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Yeah, see the movie Creed 3 is coming out. He has more fights than Floyd Mayweather. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a great service department that backs it all up. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online, sunburymotors.com. One of the truly outstanding Pittsburgh Steelers, Paul Martha, who was a part of the Steelers before their great run, has passed away at the age of 80. And in Demetrius Stanley, you saw him play against Penn State as a wide receiver at Ohio State. Passed away at 48 of prostate cancer. Eesh. Awful. All right. It's time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
No! Lawrence has it! Time winding down. And a timeout called by Jerry Stackhouse.
Be their most motivated defensive stance to keep you out of the lane and challenge that three-point shot.
4.8 to go. Robbins has it. Here comes Mignon with a pass. Outside to Lawrence for the win. Yes! He got it! He got it! Vanderbilt wins it!
Vanderbilt knocks off Tennessee last night, and tell you, Tennessee's having trouble the last couple of games scoring. And Vanderbilt won it, I want to say 65-64 or something like that.
66-65.
That's close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great win for Jerry Stackhouse and Vanderbilt last night. You know, in-state. It was pretty cool. Minnesota, Illinois, postponed due to COVID-19. You know, there have only been two teams this season that have had this. They're both in the Big Ten. Really? But this is the part that bothers me, and this bothers me a lot. And I talked about this with Dick after the game last night. It is based on the number of scholarship players you have available. No. To me, it's based on the number of players you have available. Hey, they're walk-ons? They're walk-ons. Guess what? If they have to run at 6 a.m. in July, guess what? They're on the team. I mean, they've got guys that are out that are hurt. Parker Fox and Isaiah Einan are both out for the season. Braden Carrington has missed the last six games with a leg injury. Dawson Garcia has missed the last four because of an ankle injury. Okay, they got injuries. What? What, they haven't been able to practice? You got players available. No offense, I'm not buying. I'm not buying. Because they've got this scholarship players available deal. Wrong. Okay? It's how many players you have available. When that rule came out last year for football and basketball about number of scholarship available, I said, what are you talking about scholarship available. Okay, guess what? If they got a locker and they're getting meals and they have to work out, they're on the team. I mean, they'll have to make up the games. Penn State is scheduled to play them a week from Saturday at Minneapolis in a 9 o'clock game. 9 o'clock. I know it's 8 o'clock out there, but 9 o'clock at night, really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan either.
No, but I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, again, this has nothing to do with me. Zero. I don't care what time they play the games. I've done games at 10 a.m. in my career. I have done games at midnight in my career. It doesn't matter. Okay? I'm just the announcer. I show up to do my job whenever they tell me to. And can't wait to get there because I love the job more than ever. But don't start all this stuff. I mean, look, I get on the planes with these guys. I see how exhausted they are after a game. Even when they win, how exhausted they are after the game. Oh, by the way, you know, don't forget, you got to be a class. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Don't forget, you got to be a class in the morning. Yeah, terrific. I mean, they're playing Northwestern at 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night in Chicago. Game will be over at 11. We'll be off there at 11:30. We'll be on the bus by midnight Eastern time. It's then a 30 to 45-minute trip out to O'Hare. So now we're up to 12:30, 12:45. You have to go through security. Now we're up to 1:30. Board the plane. We're probably in the air by 2 and probably back on the ground about 3. And it's not spring break. Spring break's the next week. Does anybody think that's good?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
No, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm outlining this in a way where I hope, like, the average person can understand what's going on here. And it's not just Penn State. I mean, I'm talking, this happens to everybody in this conference. Everybody. And it's bad everywhere, too. I mean, you ought to see Kansas, the Kansas schedule. Kansas schedule's unreal. Because they've got the Big 12 has that Monday night deal, part of Big Monday. And, of course, Kansas is the marquee team. Here's the Kansas basketball schedule. Let me see this for 1 second here. Yeah, so I'm just saying that. Yeah, I'm trying to, I'm using Penn State as an example. But, like, let's just backtrack here. Let's go back to, let's just start. Okay, January 7th, they're fine. 10th, they're fine. 14th, they're fine. 17th, they're fine. 21st, they do have gaps here. All right. They go 21st to the 23rd. Then they go 28, 31, 4, 8. It's a little bit better than I thought, because I thought they had a lot of Monday night games. 11th, 14th, 18th. They do go 18-20, where they go Baylor, and then they go to Fort Worth, play TCU. Home with West Virginia, home with Texas Tech, that doesn't matter. Then they go, actually, the Kansas schedule isn't that bad. I thought they had a bunch of Monday games that crammed up against a Saturday. I guess it was just that one home game with TCU and then an away game with Baylor on a Monday. It went Saturday the 21st, Monday the 23rd. Yeah, I guess I guess that's what skewed my judgment on their schedule. Hmm. 18-5, they're not bad. 12-1 at home, pretty good. But I mean, everything's done for one reason and one reason only. Everybody knows what the reason is. I know TV pays a lot of money. But, again, I keep going back to this. I know I've talked about this a thousand times. But it's interesting because, again, Andy North, Matt LaPay, and I were talking about this last night. You can't phase out the fan. Because, you know, they were asking me, like, what kind of crowd do you expect at the Jordan Center tonight? And I said, geez, an 8:30 game? I said, on a Wednesday? I said, you know, I said, there's a decent population, especially in the Harrisburg area, for example. I said, but that's 90 minutes. I said, the game goes to 10:30. You know, we didn't know the game was going to go to overtime. So, I mean, the game goes to 11. You finally get in your car, you drive home, it's 12:30 in the morning.
Well, it looked like the student section was pretty good last night.
It was okay. It was good. It was good. But I mean, my point was, they were asking me, and I wasn't complaining. I was just explaining. I said, I think it's going to be a little lean tonight. I said, it's just really hard at 8:30 at night for people to get here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Based on the metro area. Right. That was just a conversation. It was like, it wasn't like, oh boy, these fans aren't coming. No. I totally understand what the deal is. I've done this for a long time. Believe me, I get what the deal is. And I was explaining to them. I said, you know, you're a fan in Harrisburg. I said, it's a 90-minute drive up here. I said, then when the game's over, it's a 90-minute drive home. It's the 90-minute drive home where you're like, okay, it's going to be between 12:30 and 1 o'clock when I get back. And he said, and then you got to go to work the next day. I said, that's not easy for the fans. So it's just not easy. And, you know, they totally agreed. And I realize it was two Eastern time zone teams last night that hosted. Michigan played the first game at 6:30 and Penn State was at 8:30. But when Penn State played out at Wisconsin, it was an 8:30 game. There was no 6:30 game. Now, I'm not saying the game should have been at 6:30 because that would be 5:30 in Madison. But you couldn't have played the game at 7:30? 6:30 in Madison? No? I mean, Andy would like to see a second BTN channel as an alternative where they could put games on different... that can be played at the same time. But I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, I've told the story several times about wrestling, how wrestling... for years, wrestling fans, we want it on TV. We want it on TV. Totally understand the request completely. So on a Friday night, I don't know, was this like 4 years ago maybe? 5 years ago? They put wrestling on TV with Ohio State in the Jordan Center. And it's on a Friday night and it started at 6 o'clock. And of course, the line of traffic down College Avenue to make the turn onto Porter Road was so long because it was, you know, it was sold out. And wrestling fans were complaining to me, saying, I can't believe they did 6 o'clock. And I said, hey, I said, no offense. I said, you wanted to be on TV? I said, this is what it's like to be on TV. And they look at me, what do you mean by that? I said, I live this all the time. I said, football's at noon, football's at 3:30, football's at 4, football's at 6, football's at 7:30, football's at 7, football's at 8. I said, basketball. I said, I've done games at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., noon, 2:15, 4, 5:30, 6, 6:30, 7, 7:30, 8, 8:30, 9. I said, I've had all those start times in my, and that doesn't even include tournaments where you're out there and it's midnight. I said, I've had all these. I said, we're a TV show. I said, tonight you got a little bit of a glimpse of what it's like to be a fan of a TV show. I said, Big Ten Network told you to wrestle at 6, so you wrestled at 6. I said, as a, your convenience. They didn't care about your convenience. They loved the fact that you were there, but didn't think twice about how tough it would be for you to get in. Didn't think twice about it. I'm not talking about Penn State. Penn State would be, was very concerned about it. But BTN, they weren't concerned about it. You're a TV show. You're going to be at 6 o'clock on a Friday night with Ohio State. Really? And I said, that's the way it is in basketball every single game. Like Penn State's going to wrestle at Rutgers Friday, and they've got Maryland on Sunday here, right? But they pick the start times, right? You know, because it's not televised. I think it's like streamed or something like that, but it's not on a television schedule. Okay? I mean, why is Penn State playing basketball at noon on Saturday? Which, by the way, is fine. I'm perfectly fine with noon on Saturdays. That's fine. I don't care. That's great. But that's what time they were told to play. The next week, on a Saturday, they're playing at Minnesota at 9 o'clock at night.
Okay.
So they're going to go Saturday on the road, Tuesday at home, Saturday at 9 on the road, Thursday on the road, come back Sunday at home, but at 6:30 at night. Then at Northwestern at 9 at night, and then come back and play Maryland. I think that's a time to be determined to close the regular season out. And that's, I mean, see the television ping pong ball there? Okay. It's the way it is. We've all had to live with it. Just some have had to live with it a lot more than others as fans. To me, the fan in the stand is platinum. Pure platinum. They need to get... That's why, for example, I'll give you a quick example from last night. Okay? The pivotal play with Pickett, where Pickett goes in, Heppern goes down, they call an offensive foul. Okay. Show the replay of it in the arena. Okay? They should be showing every replay possible in the arena. Not to get the fans riled up. No. The fan at home should not have more of an advantage than the fan in the arena, ever. The fan at home should not have the advantage over the fan in the arena that paid the money to be there, or the stadium. They should be replaying everything left and right, anything. I don't care. Stuff they're trying to show on TV, on a replay monitor as to what happened, the whole thing, so everybody can show it. Show all of it. Right? Not to get the fans riled up and upset. I mean, please. I mean, are we beyond that in life? Okay? The fan paid the money for the gas. The fan paid the money for to park. The fan paid the money to get the tickets. The fan paid the money at the concession stand. Okay? The fan is actively involved in the game with their voice. Right? Hey, they've made all this commitment. They should be able to see every replay up there, pro and con. Okay? The fan sitting at home's like going, oh, yeah, I saw this. The fan in the arena's like, well, they didn't show the, or in the stadium, they didn't show the replay. Come on. You know? It's become a little bit better. It's become a little bit better, but it needs to be all out. For the fan in the stadium or the arena, they deserve it and earned it. That's just me. Again, I am such a proponent of the person that is in the stadium or the arena. Always have been. All right. Back with more in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Well, we got Ray Diddy next. And then after him, Matt's rant of the day. I can tell you're ready and prepared.
Oh, I am.
Now, I get to see my youngest grandson this weekend after the game. It's one thing. When you're a father, you go from rule maker to grandfather, you're rule breaker.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, the best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a service department that takes care of the life of the vehicle with great technicians. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ray Diddy, the Hall of Famer, joins us. Ray, how you been?
I'm very well, Steve. How are you?
Doing great. So this has been an interesting run because of your, quote, retirement, and now you're back doing some stuff. So has this been a season where you've had an opportunity to, quote, enjoy it more because there was a different role in life for you?
That's a good question, Steve. Yeah, it's been different for sure. Yeah, I retired in May and with full intentions of retiring. and then the Eagles authored another script here. And, you know, if the Eagles had a 7-10 season, I would, you know, right now I'd be lying on the couch eating potato chips, watching Law and Order reruns. But things sort of took a different direction here, and so I'm back in the saddle. I'm not complaining, by the way. It's really been a lot of fun, and this team has been fun to watch. I mean, the first half of the year, I watched it just like a fan, just sitting on the couch watching the games and enjoying them. And then midway through the season, you know, the TV and radio folks both reached out and said, "Hey, listen, this team's definitely going to the playoffs, so they have a chance to win the whole thing. Would you come back and be part of our postseason coverage?" So, you know, given the historic arc of this season, I couldn't very well say no.
Of course not, and I understand that completely. In watching it from the couch for the first half of the season and so forth, did it give you a perspective just watching from that perspective that actually has made its way into your commentary about the postseason?
Well, the first half of the year, yeah. I mean, well, look, I don't know if anybody saw the NFL Films Presents piece they did on me.
I did.
That aired in December.
It was awesome.
They actually came to our house.
Yep.
And filmed the first game of the season with me actually sitting watching a game for the first time with my son.
Yeah.
Anybody that saw that also saw that I was watching the game the same way I watch it from the press box, with my yellow legal tablet in my lap, you know, charting every play, writing down, keeping track of all the third down situations, all the red zone possessions. You know, I couldn't very well break that habit, but I was able to kind of watch the game like a fan and appreciate it in a different way. And I've really enjoyed the season, and I've really come to like this team. And I like the coach, and I like the quarterback a lot. And I find them just a very likable bunch. I really do. I didn't expect them to be here. I didn't expect them to be playing in the big game this year. I mean, I thought they were a good team, and I really thought they were moving in the right direction under Nick Sirianni. But they've gotten here a little ahead of schedule. But I have thoroughly enjoyed watching them, and they are they're good. I mean, they're really good. They're a good, tough, well coached team. That in the playoffs here, I mean, I thought, you know, the Giants and the 49ers would be a good test for them. And they just crushed those two teams. And so I fully understand why they're favored to win again on Sunday.
Well, now, when I watch them, what I like about them is obviously they can do the complicated. But I think more often than not, they just seem to understand who their best players are, where to put them, and then let them play. I feel like they do simple really well.
Yeah, I think that's a real good way of describing it, and it's true on both sides of the ball. They don't do a whole lot of fancy stuff. They don't try to trick you. I mean, they are just big, powerful, fast, and physical, and they just play the game the right way. And if you know, I mean, and when they have Hurts, they just don't lose. I mean, the only two, you know, I mean, they had to play two games with Minshew, and they lost both of those games. But when they have Hurts on the field, I mean, he's really, really good. He's really smart. He knows how to run this offense. I would not want to be a defensive coordinator trying to stop him, because you try and take one thing away, he'll just do the other. You know, you try and take away the RPO stuff, you try and take away the running game, okay, that's fine. I mean, he'll just throw the ball to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith. You try and take those receivers away, and you try and play too deep to take away the big play, then they'll just turn that big offensive line loose. They'll control the line of scrimmage, and they'll hit you with the three backs and the RPO. They are a very sound team and very well coached, and their offensive line is clearly the best in the NFL. It's the best I've seen in a very long time.
Right.
And they just take control of the game. And, you know, somebody was asking me the other day, you know, if to complete this sentence, the Eagles will win on Sunday if. And I said, very simple, if they don't turn the ball over.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that,
yep,
you know, if they don't turn the ball over, they win the game. I don't see any way they lose it. You know, the Chiefs' defense is okay. I mean, it's pretty good, but they're not as good in the front seven as the 49ers were. And so, you know, I think the Eagles' offensive line will have their way with them in that respect. So if the Eagles just don't turn the ball over and make mistakes, and with Hurts on the field, they generally don't, then, you know, I think they fly home with the trophy.
Yeah, I agree with you about it. If they don't turn the ball over, I don't see any way Kansas City can beat them. I think they've got to help Kansas City out to do that. Hurts
and they don't
is,
do that,
is,
and they really don't do that very often. They really,
no.
they really don't. I mean, the two games with Minshew, they did, but they're a different team when they've got Hurts on the field. And he is so smart, and he is so mature in the way he runs the team. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that makes him the perfect quarterback for this style of offense is he just doesn't care about his own statistics. You know,
right.
I mean, he threw for 121 yards against the 49ers, and they still scored 31 points, and he could care less. You know, the game was over,
right.
And he didn't care that he threw for 121 yards. It didn't matter. I mean, they won the game. That's, you know, he has the perfect mentality for this team and for this coaching staff. I mean, they would go into a game, and they'll whatever they feel like they have to do to win the game, that's what they're going to do. And the players are fully on board with that.
You have been around a lot of coaches' sons during the course of your career. Jalen Hurts is a coach's son. Does he have all the typical trademarks that you would see in a coach's son, by the way he carries himself and his attitude about the game?
All of them. Every one. It's very funny. I mean, I think that's a big part of it. Unless people are around real football people, I don't know that they can appreciate what that means. I mean, to the average fan, the idea, oh, he's a coach, so no, that's good. But if you're really around football, if you're really in the game, you understand that really means a lot. If you grew up in a house where your dad was a high-level coach, be it high school or college, and you're playing football, from the time you walk out the door the first time as an 8-year-old, you're approaching the game and playing the game in a totally different way than the other kids, because you're bringing it home with you. You know, you're bringing it home with you, and you're sitting at the kitchen table with your coach every night. You're not just on the field with him. You're with him eating your Cheerios in the morning, and he's the guy tucking you in at night. And so it is football 24/7 from the time that you can walk. And that has a way of changing the way you approach the game, and it makes you mature beyond your years. And you see that with Jalen Hurts. Well, I think it's very interesting when he talks about his father, and he's been in his interviews. You've seen snippets of his interviews from Arizona, and he's asked about his father a lot. And when he's asked about his father, he refers to him as Coach Hurts. He doesn't refer to him as dad. He doesn't refer to him as pop. When he talks about his father, he says, "Well, I was talking to Coach Hurts the other day." And I think that will tell you the depth to which his father has influenced him. I mean, when he looks at him, yeah, he's dad, but when he talks about him, he's the coach. And I think that's one of the reasons why this young man, at the age of 24, has just an extraordinary maturity level as a quarterback and a leader of this football team.
Every great player I've been around, and now the great players I've been around obviously have been college players who then ascended to the NFL. You've been around NFL players. All the ones I've been around that are great ones, Ray, everyone thinks it just naturally happens. They're the ones that I always felt wanted to be coached. Is that how you've experienced it too?
No, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree 100% with that. One of the real misconceptions with NFL players is people, and sometimes the players are guilty of this too, is they feel like when they get to the NFL, they don't have to be coached anymore. I've arrived. I'm here. You know, I know I needed coaching in high school. You had to teach me how to play the game. And, I need a coach, and I need to be taught in college because this is a step up from high school. But, I'm in the NFL now. You know, I'm a professional. I'm getting paid for this. You know, the coaching part isn't really that important anymore. You don't have to develop me anymore. I'm here. That is not true. That is not true. If you could be a functional NFL player. You can earn a paycheck and hang around for a little while if you have that attitude. But to really have a career, to really be a great player, you have to understand that the learning part of the game is just as important to you when you're in the NFL as it was when you were in high school and college, because there's always something to learn. That elite top of the pyramid group of guys, they totally get that, and that's one of the reasons why they're great, and that's one of the reasons why they play a long time. The other guys, they kind of come and they go, but the guys who endure and the guys that have great careers are the guys that understand that every day they walk on the field, it's just as important that they keep an open mind and try and improve whatever they need to improve that day. It's as important when you're in your fifth year of the NFL as when you're in your fifth year of high school or college.
Yeah, and I saw that with Miles Sanders here. He's now with the Eagles.
Yeah.
And that point goes to Jalen Hurts. Being the son of a coach, he's always understood how critical coaching was to success. And again, I'll tell you one quick story on my end. Bill O'Brien's here at Penn State. We're doing a coach's show on a Thursday night. Fan says, when it comes to, you know, working with quarterbacks, and he said, nah, obviously you didn't have to do anything with Brady, right? And Bill is sitting next to me. And as you know, Bill can be emotional.
Yes.
So I just took my left hand and I put it on his wrist, like, it's going to be okay here. And that's when I turned the question around. And I said, hey, when you're around any player, whether it's a great player like Brady or a college quarterback, how important is the relationship and the coaching part of it for each and every one of them? How badly do great ones want to be coached? So, yeah, that calmed it down.
I think that's true. And there was a game I guess it was 2 years ago, and it was Hurts's second or third start. He had brought him in. They had they had put him in place of Wentz, and they made it clear he was going to finish out the season. He had a really good, really, really good first game against New Orleans, and then the next week didn't go so well. And he made a mistake. He held the ball too long, took a hit, fumbled the ball. And he was coming off the field, and Sirianni got in his face. And the TV cameras saw it and showed it. And Hurts didn't even blink. I mean, Hurts stood there, nodded his head, and then walked back to the bench. And after the game in the press conference, somebody brought up that moment. And, you know, when the coach jumped on you there, how did you feel about that? And Hurts said, you know, I made a mistake. I made a stupid play. I held the ball too long, and it cost the team. I turned the ball over. He said, but, well, and they said, well, what did you, because they said, I saw you said something back to him. And he said, yeah. He said, what I said back to him was, that's okay. I want to be coached hard. And Sirianni talked about it too. Sirianni said in his press conference, he said, Jalen and I have this understanding. He said, you know, Jalen told me, don't be afraid to coach me hard, because that's the way my father coached me. And that was the foundation of the relationship. And you look at where the two of them are now, a couple years later, playing for a world championship, I'd say it worked.
Well, you know what happens when they don't talk to you? That usually means they don't care. Okay.
Yeah, I think that is spot on, Steve.
Ray, enjoy every second of this. Enjoy every second of it, and I know you will. Thanks a lot for the valuable time you gave to us today, and any time we have you on. We appreciate you so much.
Oh, that's perfectly fine, Steve. I always enjoy joining you. I got to go out now. We're some of the people in the neighborhood were getting together, and we're greasing the poles here, just making sure that I don't want to say we're overconfident or anything, but we got the neighborhood watch guys are all together, and we're going out tonight to grease the poles just to be sure we're ready for Sunday night.
I think Girardi already did that up in Yardley, so we're
I think he did. All right, Steve. Always a
Thanks,
pleasure.
Ray. Appreciate it.
Take.
Oh, that was terrific.
I love it.
We'll come back with. I mean, it sounds like you're geared up for a good rant.
Yes.
I want to make sure you have enough time to do it. Because I'm just going to leave.
Get the lingerie on the deck. Call the janitor.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Look, I'm just going to turn you loose.
Well, my beef today just comes from everything we've seen with the NBA trade deadline. Now, it's been entertaining to follow because there's been a lot going on. You know, I'm not going to deny that. But it's the way that we've gotten to this point is kind of what my beef is today from an overall standpoint. But I want to start with the Sixers first because I think they had a terrible trade deadline. I don't necessarily hate the trade they made, but I don't think it necessarily makes them better. And I think they're now a little bit behind the eight ball even more with Milwaukee and with Boston, who have gotten better and added some depth to their side of things. And I got to be honest with you, right now, if the Sixers, either way, whether the Sixers get the 2 or the 3 seed, or even the 1 seed for that matter, I don't see them still getting out of the second round. I really don't. Right now, they would play... whoever it is, the 6 seed would be, the 3-6 matchup. They'd win that series, no question, and then you turn it over to, you'll probably have to play Milwaukee or Boston in the second round. Right now it would be Milwaukee. I don't think they win. And then who knows about James Harden staying with the team next year? Because there's been those reports out there that he all of a sudden somehow wants to return to Houston, which leads me to this point. And so everything pretty much has failed, again, for the Sixers with this whole process up to this point. Hasn't gotten them anywhere. Yeah, still haven't gotten them at least an Eastern Conference Final, let alone an NBA Final. But then it comes to this. You're 100% right, what you said the other day, Steve, that the NBA is afraid of its players. I have never seen a set of players run the league so much by the way of how spoiled they are. They literally are a bunch of spoiled brats. I mean, take Kevin Durant for an example. He now actually has to be by himself to try and lead a team, which he still could with that talent that they had, especially that they got from the Kyrie trade. But like, nah, I'm done. I want to go to Phoenix, where it's going to be easier for me when I get to team up with two stars in Phoenix that already went to an NBA final. Okay. Yeah, like, we have to have these super teams. That's the problem with the NBA. The super teams just totally disrupt the competitive balance and which keep teams like the Sixers, who are trying to make the hump to the next step, stay where they are, where they can't get out of the second round, where you've got teams like the Knicks who are stuck being like a 7 and 8 seed. Because the stars just go where they choose when they go, where they think they're going to win, and those teams that are there in that process, already winning and are championship contenders, continue to stay that way. What's great about the NFL and the reason why it's always going to be king is because you have turnover every year of different teams that sucked one year, but then they're a contender the next year. Like Jacksonville's a great example. They've been awful the last couple years. This year, Doug P. turns around. They got a couple nice draft picks, and they went to the AFC Divisional Playoff round and won the division. That's what I want in a sports league. Not drama. That's just 24-7. Like, I'm just done with the drama. I'm just done with players choosing what they want to do and choosing how they run the league. Like, to be honest with you, I really didn't give that much of a cojones that LeBron broke the scoring record, because he's kind of ticked me off over the last couple of years with his antics on and off the court and the way he's carried himself. As I've said, the NBA's had a very stale product for a long time, and it's continuing to stay that way. It's like a whole loaf of bread that you want to make out of croutons, and you can't even make out of a croutons because it's so stale. I've had enough of LeBron. I've had enough of Kyrie. He needs to just shut his mouth for all eternity. It's nauseating.
Don't stop him. He's on a roll.
I rest my case. And I can't even enjoy hockey right now because my Flyers team stinks so bad out loud.
I saw John Tortorello in Los Angeles. He speaks highly of you.
Oh, that's a shocker. He doesn't speak highly of many people.
No, he likes you a lot.
I don't know what I did to deserve that. I'm just as soon as the Eagles run is over, which hopefully ends in a win, I'm going straight to spring training.
You're Matty C.